The opposite of, you know, addiction is not sobriety. The opposite of addiction is connection. So that's why I try to connect to someone every day on a daily basis on a on an intimate level of authenticity, rawness, realness. Tell me your story and I'll tell you mine and we'll be in it together.
Welcome to the New World Normal podcast. I'm Debbie Harrell, your host. And twice a month, I'm speaking with some amazing humans who are disrupting norms and working to create a more inclusive and holistic society. These people are using their sphere of influence, no matter how large or small, to positively impact the world around them. They'll be sharing their expertise as well as sharing stories of resiliency and hope. We'll be talking about the issues that are affecting us all, from the environment, human rights, social issues, criminal justice, and education. We'll talk about our healthcare systems, wellness, and food, from how it's cultivated and distributed to how it's prepared and consumed. Basically, we're going to talk about all the systems in our society that aren't necessarily working for the benefit of the many. We'll strategize and collaborate on how we as a collective can intentionally make better choices every day that will lead to a positive change in the world around us. Because in the end, it's up to us to solve these problems. There is no magic potion or magic wand. It is us and our daily choices and how we spend our time and how we invest our resources. Intrigued? Stick around and have a listen. And by all means, click like or subscribe on your favorite podcast source. Welcome back to the New World Normal podcast. Today, I'm speaking with Breanne Davis, who is a very successful Hollywood actress. And I have to say, I'm thankful that I didn't look too closely at that section on her bio, or I would have been stuck in fangirl mode for the entire interview. But as it is, we had a good conversation talking about disrupting norms surrounding shame in our society. Where Breanne's true passion lies is her work as a sober coach in the addiction and recovery world. She has had over 12 years of recovery as a sex and love addict, and she has channeled that into her coaching work as well as hosting a podcast called Secret Life, which launched in August of 2020 and features inspiring true confessions from an eclectic group of guests unpacking a plethora of taboo topics. So please consider giving that a listen. And as you're listening to today's episode, I have to apologize. I failed to plug in my microphone as we were recording. I didn't realize until the end. And we also have a little bit of internet issues, so bear with us. The sound might be a little wonky, but I'm kind of hoping that my podcast editor can work some magic. It's always possible. Hope you enjoy the show.
I'm so excited today to be here with Breanne Davis, who has her own podcast called The Secret Life, which I've became a quick fan of after listening to a few episodes. And my hope is we're going to talk a little bit about disrupting norms surrounding shame, because I feel like her podcast does a good job of that. But first, I'd just like to welcome Breanne. Welcome. Thanks for taking the time.
Hi, thanks for having. I'm so excited.
It's always exciting to talk to somebody new. I feel like that's been the biggest positive of having a podcast is getting to meet all these people doing this amazing work.
Yeah, it's like the best part.
Right? It helps with some of that overwhelm from when you're like listening to the news and thinking, oh my gosh, this is crazy. People are crazy. And you're like, oh wait, no, look, there's some really cool people out there doing some really cool things.
Yeah, no, it's the best part. I mean, for me, I never wanted to have a podcast. So I didn't like the sound of my voice. I wasn't interested. I didn't listen to any podcast. But when the world shut down, it definitely was a way to connect to other people. You know, I'm in the 12-step world. So I already connected people around the world, but it really helped me share my experience, strength, and hope because I got to let go of my shame. And if I allow others to have a platform where they can let go of their shame because I came out as a sex and love addict. You know, I work in Hollywood for 20 plus years as a working actress. I've been on shows like Six on History, Casual, True Blood, Lucifer, movies like Jarhead, Prom Night, Synchronicity, go on. And underneath that career, I was a recovering sex and love addict the last 12 and a half years. And what that looks like is I would go to work and then I would go to a 12-step meeting and I would meet with my therapist and do all those things. And I thought I was you're never cured of sex and love addiction, but it's like a treatable addiction. So when the pandemic and everything shut down, I wrote a book. I started Secret Life Podcast, and my book's called Secret Life of a Hollywood Sex and Love Addict. And the first time I wrote about it in HuffPost, I did an article coming out as a recovered sex and love addict as a woman. That last bit of shame that I didn't realize I was holding on to, even after all those years of so much work I did and so many people I've helped around the world, it evaporated. And I was like, oh my God, I want to give other people a chance to let go of something they're holding on to that they might not even know they're holding on to.
I think that's a really good point, because I feel like that bringing it to light does help it go away. And I find it fascinating that you were talking about you were dealing with all this heavy, heavy stuff and work you were doing on yourself while being this completely successful actress in Hollywood, like at a high level, and that both of those two things were happening simultaneously, and how much more common that probably is. And we're just not aware of the struggles that people we see on a daily basis might be going through.
The highest in my career, I was on the red carpet for prom night, one of my first big, like, other than Jarhead studio films. And I was at the lowest point, like dressed in this glamorous dress on a red carpet, getting my picture taken for all over the world for this movie I was in. And I was at the lowest point of my life, like the hardest time, where I was crawling on the ground, crying, almost blowing up my relationship, being a horrible friend, not showing up for people, being flaky, all of that.
What was it that had you keep going? Like, that would be to be in the light like that and then have to deal with these deeply personal things.
Yeah, to be in the darkness while in that light, you know, while society is saying you should be happy, you have everything, you have money in the bank, you have a career, you have accolades now and all that stuff. And it's like to be in that dark place at the same time. That's why when I look at people and if I get envious or have that compare and despair come up, I don't know what that person's going through. So how I got through it is I had to surrender. I had to be willing to let go of my career, let go of my relationships, let go of family members to heal from that generational trauma, to heal that I didn't know how to have healthy relationships. I didn't know how to have intimacy with another person. I always disconnected myself. So I always had shame about that. I thought I was just one of those people that couldn't have long-term relationships. I thought I was one of those people like, there I would be bored, you know, like I was like, something's wrong with me. Maybe I'm missing that commitment piece. But really, there was this shame underneath, like, I'm broken. No one's like me. And I'm a woman too. And it's so hard to say as a woman, you're a sex and love addict.
I could see that would come with even more stigma, right?
Yeah.
And that you said, I'm different. There's something wrong with me. But in the reality, we all share those feelings of shame for whatever we're going through. And are you finding that as you're speaking to your guests, like the themes of commonality, like whether it's from responses from your audience or just the guests themselves, like, oh, I heard this person say that. And like, oh, I feel that way too.
I think that's the best part about the podcast is my whole concept is tell me your secret and I'll tell you mine. And most of it is those feelings underneath the secret, right? Like those voices in our head, I'm a loser, I'm not good enough, I'm a perfectionist, all those things is that comes with so much shame, that negative voice in our head. So the most I feel is I get to sit with another one of my guests and they're telling me the worst things that they've either done or had done to them. And I have no judgment because I've been there and I've also done things to people I'm not proud of. I've done bad things. Doesn't make me a bad person. And I've gotten through that shame. So to be able to be an ear for them, and it's healed so many of our guests. I mean, I've recorded 176 episodes. I think we're on our 111th episode. And how much healing has happened for my guests and the listeners. I have so many listeners reach out and go, oh my God, that's happened to me. Oh, now I got to heal that. I'm not alone. It's just been the most beautiful part of this journey for me.
I wouldn't doubt that for a second because I feel it. And listening to it, I love the space you create for your guests because it is like, it feels like they're telling one of their girlfriends.
Yeah.
And you're holding that space without judgment. And like, even like you're honoring a lot of times the heaviness of some of the stuff that they're telling me because there's been some heavy, heavy secrets revealed.
Oh my God. I mean, one of our heaviest, I think it was the first, because a lot of our guests are anonymous. I change most of the names. I would say 75% are anonymous people and we change the name. We have some celebrities, but it's not about who they are. I just don't even care what you do. You're just as great as the A-list to me.
Well, and that's part of the message too, right? We're all the same, no matter what level of society we're classified as. Like, we all have these struggles with shame over just silly things because we all are dealing with them.
Yeah. It's so in the human condition. So the first anonymous guest I had on, her name was Kristen, and it was episode number 5, and she couldn't reach perfectionism. So she shot herself in the chest with a shotgun in her car. And her sitting there telling me her story and all the struggle and what she went through after she pulled the trigger and going through that, it was just like, I knew it was bigger than me. Like, the podcast is not about me. The book is not about me. It's literally, who can I be helpful to? Who can I let that space be open so they can release it? And now she's like running for governor in her state and like talking about suicide awareness.
My God, that's amazing.
Right? Like, it was like, and I get to know her the rest of my life. And I would have never got a chance to talk to someone from across the country about such a beautiful and heart-wrenching moment that she went through.
It sounds horrific, and all for perfectionism, which is just a whole nother thing, like why we strive for this unattainable. But I wanted to go back to one thing. About, it's not about you. It's about your stories and shining a light. And that's a theme that's come up on my journey a lot, is being that conduit, and that people that have these struggles in life, wanting to make that shift to make them their mess, their message, right? The wounded healer, so to speak. And it's such a beautiful shift of you have post-traumatic stress disorder, but you also have post-traumatic growth if you choose that path. You know, you have to intentionally choose the healing path, but then you morph into this other being that can be that conduit. And it sounds kind of crazy, but like, to be a light for other people and shine the light in the darkness where we're all trying to like, oh, don't look over there. Don't look over there. But like, why? We look over there. That's no big deal. I got this over here. You want to see? Like,
yeah,
come on, let's just move on and try and be better people.
But there's only through the darkness you can see the light. You know, people are so scared to walk through that darkness. And it's like, that's where the light is. That's where the healing is. So I always like to say, like, I have been there. I have been at the depths, you know, wanting to run my car into the median because I didn't want to be on this planet anymore. And so I can understand when you are feeling that low. But on the other side, like, I can be a mirror and say, hey, but look, this is on the other side. It's freedom from self. It's freedom from your own prison of your mind. It's that stinking thinking that we all have. And so, yeah, and that keeps me sober in my program. The opposite of, you know, addiction is not sobriety. The opposite of addiction is connection. So that's why I try to connect to someone every day on a daily basis on an intimate level of authenticity, rawness, realness. Tell me your story and I'll tell you mine, and we'll be in it together.
I think that realness is a key ingredient there, because a lot of times we connect with the people around us, but on such superficial levels, you know, surface, like, how are you doing? You know, oh, the weather, it's so hot. It's like, I don't want to talk about that stuff anymore. Like, let's talk about something real and what lights you up? What are you doing? You know, what are you working on that's, you know, you're feeling stuck with or making you feel bad? Like, yeah, let's be vulnerable with one another.
I mean, it's the only way. Everything else is like bullshit if you think about it.
What is really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I feel like we need Brené Brown here with us. We're going to talk about shame and vulnerability.
Perfect. Let's get her on.
Hey, Brené. But yeah, it's so huge. And it's so simple, right?
It is. It's simple. It is simple. But even opening your mouth to say, hey, I need help, or I went through this, it's probably the most difficult thing. But the moment you do it, that shame evaporates. But you have to be willing to walk through that and you will be okay on the other side. I'm telling you, anybody that feels like this is, nobody knows this is my story, it's like, no, 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 no. Like, we all have those feelings underneath. We just put a different layer of bull crap on top of it.
I love that image that it's going to be better. And there are people on the other side that are going to relate and accept. Even if you feel like there are people in your life that aren't, maybe those people weren't your people to begin with, you know, like.
Mm-hmm. You got a clean house. This is what I say. You clean house. That's the beautiful thing of 12-step. You get to really look at your house and say, does this work for me? Do these people work for me? Do they support me? is there judgment or non-judgment? You know, you get to really look at like, where am I denying my true sense of self and people that care about me around me?
Right. And where do I want to get? And are these people helping me get there? Are they holding me back? All good stuff. When I first listened to you, I was listening to you on another podcast. It was a podcast for podcasters. I don't really remember what you guys were talking about, but I was like instantly like, oh my gosh, I love this woman and I love this podcast. So I went and listened to your podcast because I was immediately drawn to the concept of airing the shame, putting a light on it. And I used to follow, I bought these coffee table books for teenagers back, gosh, 10 years ago. Post Secret. Have you ever heard of Post Secret?
No.
You would, I think you would really enjoy it. It was a guy who started this campaign where he's like, just send me a postcard to this address with your secret. So.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So people would send, they would make them really artistic, you know, like with collage and fake letters, you know, like a ransom note kind of. But the stories they were sharing were like heartbreaking and beautiful. And that vulnerability and that commonality is right there, just like what you're doing on your show. So I wanted to be sure to mention that to you and the listeners. But yeah, we are more alike than different. And these struggles and shames that we feel aren't necessary. And it would be great if we could move through them together. So what was your path to get to where you are? And what, besides the podcast, what kind of work are you doing?
Well, that was the thing. I started writing a book. You know, I was shooting Lucifer, and my husband, who I've been with for 17 years, he was like, hey, there's this writing class. Because what I was doing is I was pitching a show around town in Hollywood about female sex and love addicts with my friend Jana Kramer. And every time we were writing the script and doing the script, they kept changing the story. And he saw how frustrated I was getting. So he said, hey, there's this writing class. You should take it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I have ADHD. I'm dyslexic. I'm an actor. I'm not a writer. Leave me alone. Go away. I'm working. Like, you know, so I was like, totally no, no, no. And he kept bringing it up and it was driving me nuts. And finally, I'm like, God, why do you keep bringing this up? And he's like, I just feel like you have this story and you're not getting to tell it. And no one has to know you take this course. You don't have to tell anybody. It's 90 days. And so I said, fine, I'll take it. And he's like, you could take one class. And then if you don't want to do it, just stop. It's not that much money. So I took it and I wrote the first draft of my book, Secret Life of a Hollywood Sex and Love Addict, in 45 days.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but it was like bigger than me. It was like God was coming through me or to write these stories down. And at first it was just pure memoir. And then when I was in rewrites and doing the edit with my editor, all these stories just started coming in, other people's stories, other people's experiences with this addiction and their own situations. And so I just put everything in there and I was just became this open vessel and put them in there. And it became somebody else's story, my story, but other people's. And while I was doing that, that's when I started writing articles and speaking out about being a sex and love addict. And the day, just so you know, the day HuffPost, the article came out, the first one, at 9 a.m., I was like, oh my God, did I ruin my life and my career? What am I doing? I'm never going to get hired again. No one wants to work with a sex and love addict. They're going to think I'm like going on set trying to sleep with everyone, which is, I've never even had a one night stand. So it's like, I had this panic and that was that shame. And so the moment it came out, 2 hours later, nothing happened. I was like, oh my God, you ego, get some humility. Like, you're not that important in the world. Relax, lady. Like, no one cares. But what did happen that week is I got thousands of emails just saying, oh my God, I do that too. I never knew why I went from relationship to relationship. I never knew why I kept going back to that toxic relationship or why I have this fantasy of like somebody coming to rescue me, this soulmate person in this world. Like, or flirting or intriguing, you know, or going to have one night stands, which wasn't one of my behaviors, but all those things. And I just like got to release that shame. And so that's why I started this journey. It was 2 years ago where I just like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm just going to keep like being the most raw and authentic I've ever been. I'm going to still work on myself, but I'm going to be there for other people. And now I get I sponsor people around the world. I go to rehab facilities. I have clients all over the world that I help with this addiction that are too shameful to walk into a room and say, I have this problem. And with the book and then the podcast and then my career as an actor, I'm just really grateful that I get to help others and entertain with the book and the podcast and also educate people.
If you're enjoying this conversation, you'll love the discussions happening in the New World Normal community, where we meet regularly to discuss personal growth and social issues, because we know when we do our work, we're better able to navigate this ever-changing world. Be sure to follow the link in the show notes for more information.
That's what I think that, what do they call it, edutainment?
Yeah.
That your podcast definitely feels that way.
That's a great word.
Because it's comfortable and it's friendly and open, but yeah, you're learning. You're being exposed to these different ideas and the way people have lived, and that might be completely different than the way you came up, but it's okay because we've all been brought up differently.
Yeah. I mean, I just love interviewing. I interviewed someone in Ireland. Like, I'm Irish, but I have never been to Ireland, and her experience and what she goes through on a daily basis is completely different from mine. But we have the same disease. We have the same addiction. And it's just so fascinating to be able to connect with people on that level.
And I think you're right with the connection, more connection. We need more connection. And I know a lot of people during the pandemic felt disconnected. And it's true, like, we do need that human connection and the connection to neighbor or to nature where we're, you know, that we can't really get when we're stuck inside. But this world of Zoom and the internet, like we were just saying, it's the blessing and the curse. Like, you can connect with people around the world if you do it with intention. You know, like,
yeah,
I need to connect with somebody and I can't connect with anybody. Because I know, like, what I was working through in the last 2 years, my own story is like peeling away what's working, what's not working. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get there with like talking about it with my current friends because, you know, you want something different. You have to do it a little differently. So that even that shift and then connecting with people that were on similar paths through the little boxes on my computer, you know, it's huge.
Completely.
In ways so surprising to me. So I'm not a super tech person. I'm like, when the first thought of getting on a Zoom meeting, I had total anxiety. Would I have to turn my camera on and talk to someone in my computer? That's ridiculous. And now here I have a podcast. Like, what the heck's going on? Anyways, the world works in mysterious ways. And I feel like that pulling that thread and just taking the next step, like you were talking about how your story just came out of you in 45 days.
Yeah.
I think that's because it was supposed to happen.
100%.
And then it's helped all these people. What a blessing. And I'm so grateful and thankful that you were courageous enough to do it. Right?
Thank you. Yeah. Well, it really felt like I didn't have a choice. I mean, you always have a choice, but this time it was like big. You know, the learning disability, the audiobook, using my voice, acting it out, all that stuff did take courage. So thank you for saying that. But then I get to right size it and be like, okay, yes, good job, Brianne. Good job sharing your story, but this isn't about you. So take your ego out of it and put it out in the world and have no expectations. You know, I said at the beginning, if I could help one person, then I've done my job. And the beautiful thing is my mom, I'll tell you this story. My mom read it. And if you read this book, you'll be like, ooh, her mom read it. And it's pretty graphic and out there. And she read it and she called me the next day. She read it in 24 hours. And she said, she was crying. It was on FaceTime. And I was like, oh no, that's not good.
This is a good cry. Bad cry. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I didn't know. And then she was like, I'm so proud of you. And she was crying and it was so beautiful. And she said, you know, for the first time in 10 years, I completely understand your addiction. And it makes sense to me now. And then she said, and some of the stuff you wrote about, I have done too. And it was just such a beautiful healing moment that she really got to see me and got to see all the work I did to get better and be a better person in this world and to take accountability and also help other people. So that's enough right there. Everything else is just icing on the cake.
Yeah, that understanding too, like that has to be huge weight off of your shoulders. I need to read your book.
Oh my God, you do. You'll enjoy it. It's a wild ride.
New World Normal, as I said at the beginning, we're about disrupting societal norms and looking for better ways. And so if there was any norm, what is normal? And I feel like I need to make a little avatar. His name is Norm, and he comes in and says silly things. Anyways, if you could disrupt societal norm with your magic wand, what would you disrupt permanently?
I think I would disrupt the need for attention and validation and sexuality on social media and this unrealistic expectation of what love looks like and what it should give you. So that whole social norm, I wish I could just throw out the window. Like, there is no soulmate. No one's going to give you the attention, validation you need. You are your own, I like to say, fucking soulmate, and you complete yourself. You live and die with yourself. No one is going to be buried with you. So you better love yourself the most. So that's what I consider to be normal now.
I like that because that feeds into so many other things. Like you talked about the guest that had the issues with perfectionism, and that's all driven by our need for people to validate and accept us. And that line in the movie, what movie was it? You complete me?
Oh,
right? I think about it all the time. Line. Like, such bullshit. Like,
no, and I tell my husband that. Like I said, we've been together a very long time. We have a 4-year-old son. And I tell people when I go and speak and talk all over the world, I say, my husband can leave me today and I'll be okay. I'll be sad. I'll go through loss, sadness, grief, healing, but I will still be okay. I couldn't say that 12 years ago. When someone left me, it was like the world was like shattered and I was broken without this person, even though they didn't even know the real me because I was terrified of intimacy. So it's like, but I can say that now. Everybody could leave me in my life. All the money could leave, the career, everything could leave. And I know I'm okay because I did that inner work on myself. I couldn't say that 12 years ago.
And I think that that's a good point to bring up because so many people think that love and sex addiction is purely the sex part of it. You know, like you were saying, like one night stands weren't your behavior, but yet you still suffered with this issue.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point.
Well, because our society tells us that, that the women wear their sexuality. So women, especially, even this happens with men, but we use our sexuality as currency. We use it for manipulation and control and power over other people. And that's what I was doing. My sexuality wasn't attached to intimacy. It was attached to power and control. What can I get? How can I use it? Who can I manipulate to get what I need to feel whole and complete? Which never works out, as you know. Like, that just doesn't work out.
So you're like, I think I want this. I'm like, no, maybe I want that. Like, okay, like, yeah, I'm not sure what I want. Yeah.
And then the bar always goes get, as soon as you get that thing, you're so empty inside that it then becomes a higher bar. And you're always striving for this thing that is just never attainable. So that's why you see a lot of people that have everything and then they go and kill themselves or they like hit a depression or they go turn to drugs and alcohol. It's like, I didn't get the skills to feel feelings, to feel loved, to not feel like I'm going to be abandoned, the intimacy and all of that. And it's like, you cannot get that from an outside source. It has to be an inside job.
No, and I would argue that the shame is all tied to keeping us there. You know, like we're feeling shame, we can't even reach out to work on those things, like learn how to feel or make connections with people because I'm so shameful of these terrible things that I've done that really aren't that terrible, but they're still keeping me stuck and hidden and in the dark.
Yeah, and thinking you're the only one. It's like that, like, that you're unique or special, I always like to say. I'm not unique or special. We are all so similar. And that people always believe that their problems are unique or their situations or things they've done are unique. And really, you're not.
Yeah. I like what you said about before the Huffington Post article came out and you were really nervous. Like, oh no, what did I do? What did I do? And they're like, oh, nothing happened. Like the world did not implode.
Nobody cares.
Well, and the ridiculous thing is like, you have a bigger sphere than I do, obviously. Like you're a successful actress in Hollywood. You're writing for Huffington Post. But on the same level, when I started this podcast, I was so freaking nervous. Like, oh my gosh, like, how can I, like, who am I to talk about these things? And like, I can't use, like, using your voice kind of issues that I was going through. And then the realization came through. I'm like, there's really nobody listening.
I know.
It's okay. And it wasn't until I told, which is ridiculous because the idea is I want people to listen and more people are listening now. But at the beginning, like literally nobody was listening. So it didn't really matter. I'm like, just say what you have to say. And then the people that want to listen will start listening. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And your voice is just as important as anybody else's. Your experience is just as important. Your process of going through the shame and healing is just as important as Joe Schmo down the street, me, or anybody else. You know, we all have a voice that can help somebody else. Because if you're doing it to help somebody else, then you need to be speaking, because that's the whole thing. You can't do it for any other reason than to be of service to somebody else.
Right. And that's what it came boiled down to in the end. It's like, I want to help and I'm called. Like, I've got this calling. I feel like it was in me, kind of like your story needed to come out of you. Like, this keeps coming up and like, I need to do this. So I want to help people during these crazy times. So really it turned around to, well, who am I not to? Like, if I don't, I'm certainly not going to help anybody.
Exactly.
So if I do it and I help, you know, a handful of people, one person would be plenty.
Yeah.
So
yay.
It feels good to be in company with, there's such a thing. There's so many other people that are having these moments of, all this shit happened to me and I don't know why, but I worked through it. And now like, I want to help other people work through shit. Like if it's just by sharing my story, or if I can share my strategies and tips on how I worked through my stuff, which was an unintended segue to my other wrap-up question, which in our membership community, we talk a lot about personal growth and self-care. Mm-hmm. I call it full being wellness, because we talk about self-care and wellness, like the entire being. But a lot of things we talk about are how techniques, routines, modalities for regulating our nervous system. And I know you said you're in a 12-step program. What are some of the routines that you do to make sure you're showing up in your day whole and present? Do you have any morning routines, afternoon routines?
Yeah, I pray every morning and every night. And that looks like hitting my knees, even though I don't always believe in something bigger than me. Because when I'm ever running the show, my ego can get in the way. So it's really just humbling myself every morning and every night. I write three things I'm grateful for every night. They're completely different things. I try not to repeat them. It could be as simple as like the air you breathe. You know, if you're having a hard day, sometimes it's going back to those simple things like a bed to sleep in. Not everybody has a bed to sleep in. Like, let's humble ourselves. So those things really help me. I also get on a meeting every morning, a 12-step meeting. I do outreach calls, people that are in struggle. I have the podcast. I'm writing book number two. But then also it's like taking moratoriums for myself. You know, I have a 4-year-old and that's exhausting at times. And so I can literally say to him, like, mom needs to have 5 minutes to herself. I'm going to go do the calm app. I'm going to meditate and I'll be back. And I get to recenter myself. And it's just taking those moments to take care of myself then teaches my son how to take care of himself. Also allowing myself to feel my feelings. You know, we're surrounded by this toxic positivity all the time. And when you're going through the process of growth, it's not positive. It doesn't feel good. It's like going through the muck and trying to like get through it. And some days it's easy and some days it's hard again. It's like a roller coaster. So I really allow myself to have my feelings and to not completely understand them sometimes and to sit with them and not run from them and try to get on social media or go buy something or eat a piece of cake. Like, I really tried to have my feelings when I have them. Because for so long, I didn't know how to self-regulate my feelings. And that was part of the addiction as well. And then just over-communicate with people I love in my life. You know, my husband and I are very big over-communicators. And that really helps me right size and stay present in the relationship. Because, you know, when someone upsets you, you're like, see ya, peace out. I'm gone. I'm going to go move to another country and start a whole new life. You know, that fantasy.
You're dead to me. Yeah.
But no, it's like really communicating in a healthy way. Like, when you said this, it felt like this. And this is what it brought up for me. Or let's take a 5-minute break. And it's a lot of work, but it has really helped me stay present in my life, stay close to my feelings, stay close to a program, use my tools, take care of myself so I can then mirror it for my son. And the generational trauma hopefully won't go to him, and he won't turn into an addict, and he won't turn to substances or people, places, and things to not be able to deal with reality. It's like, how can I deal with reality on reality's terms? That's my whole goal.
I love it. And I love that you're modeling that for your son, because what a gift. I know so many of us were taught to not deal with our feelings. Like, oh, like, why are you sad? Stop crying. You know, like,
you have no reason to be sad. Look at your life. You have everything. It's just like,
I know I did it as a parent too, but like,
yeah,
because it's just the way we were taught. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I did that. Sorry, kids. I've already told my kids, they're, feel free to talk about me in therapy. Like, I did the best I could
with what you had.
And that's the goal. Well, thank you for sharing your story with us and for creating that space for your guests and your listeners to hear stories of commonality. Where can my listeners, all five of them, I'm just kidding, more than that.
I love it.
Find you, connect with you, learn more about you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at the Brianne Davis. I pretty much answer all my DMs if you have a question. If you want to get my book, it's on Amazon. It's called Secret Life of a Hollywood Sex and Love Addict. The audiobook's there, Kindle. And if you want to get a signed copy, go to secretlifenovel.com. All my articles are there, my acting work and everything else. And please listen to Secret Life Podcast. I'm really, really proud of it. We're helping a lot of people. And there is tons of episodes, every kind of secret you can imagine, light ones, dark ones, and all our guests are completely different. So please come and join the Secret Life family. We would love to have you.
Yes, I'm there. I'm listening.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I mentioned that I might be a fangirl at the beginning of the show, and I will tell you that by the end of the show, I was definitely a fan. Not only is she gorgeous and glamorous in all the ways you would expect a Hollywood actress to be, she's real and she's humble and she's open and vulnerable and all the things that make being human special. And I'm so thankful I had an opportunity to speak with her today. I hope that you got something out of the conversation. I hope that if you're feeling shame about something, that you might take this opportunity to reach out to someone that you can talk to about it. Or if you don't feel like there's anyone you can talk to about it, reach out to Brianne, reach out to me. We're here. And as we said in the show, shining a light on it is often that secret ingredient to help it disappear. Have a great day. If you are enjoying the New World Normal podcast, please, please, please don't forget to like, subscribe, review, share it with a friend. All easy ways to support the show. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to our show. If you enjoyed what you heard, feel free to subscribe and leave us a review. If you didn't enjoy what you heard, reach out to us and let us know how we can make it better. This show really is about all of us. Not just me and my guests, but how we can all work together to make the world just a little bit better. And if you'd like to connect with us in other ways, be sure to follow us on Instagram. We also have a free Facebook group where our fans of the show can connect and discuss their favorite episodes. And in addition to that, we have a membership platform, The Collective by New World Normal, where you will participate in monthly workshops, pop-up challenges, and weekly meetings to support a more intentional lifestyle. We have meaningful conversations about important topics, all in a space that is safe, supportive, and encouraging. So join us. And if you'd like to show us some more support, check out our intentional apparel shop online, New World Intentions. You'll find t-shirts, hats, totes, all with positive messaging to help you move more mindfully through your day and help you to create that new world normal. You can also check out our affiliate page, where you'll find our favorite eco-friendly household and personal care products. Thanks again for listening.